You know we have a no-phones policy in Luddite meetings, says a Luddite chairman when a mobile pings at a meeting in a recent Stephen Collins cartoon strip. And it's not just the mobiles that are interrupting. We soon discover the Luddites also use a WhatsApp group, invaluable for organising meetings. It's a bind that many of us find ourselves in 2018, increasingly struck by the compulsive effects of our phones, our social platforms, but quite fond of them anyway. All this week on Culture File, we're looking at one, well, hardly a movement, but an idea that's offering a degree of resistance and even just a pause for thought. Slow computing. Our guests this time, Rob Kitchen and Alistair Fraser, recently organised a slow computing event at Maynooth University, which they called a workshop on resistance in the algorithmic age. Who better than to get the ball rolling? Slowly.
Technology companies have all hired neuroscientists to help them make their product habit-forming and addictive.
Data from the devices is being harvested, and that data is being used to make decisions about us or to nudge us to act in certain ways.
Understanding how information is handled is of fundamental importance to be effective citizens.
People are not necessarily using the term slow computing, but they are having these conversations. So whether they go on a weekend away with their phone or not, whether there is downtime from WhatsApp or email, this is a feature of today's society. People are aware of this. So they may not be using the term slow computing, but they're certainly having these conversations. We're encouraged to think about fast computing, to be constantly speeding up and to be, you know, exposed to what we call these data grabbing architectures. Slow computing is about, you know, thinking about that differently, asking whether or not we can slow down, but yet still, and this is the crucial point, still use computing.
So have you paid attention to things like the slow food movement?
Yes, slow food was part of the backdrop for what we were thinking about. The slow food movement is all about, you know, essentially it's about challenging the notions of fast food.
There's something about the difference between, as you say, fast food and fast computing is that you don't even need to say fast in computing. That's almost its purpose.
Yeah, so the technology is about acceleration. It's about speeding things up, trying to get things done in the most efficient way possible. I guess what we're arguing is we need to kind of think about what are the effects of living in the algorithmic age? And it's not necessarily that we're becoming like computers, but it is that computation is having a whole series of effects on our culture and our society and our economy and our politics and how we go about living everyday lives. And maybe we need some kind of critical reflection on that. Maybe we need some ethics around that. Maybe we need some resistance and new laws or new regulations. And maybe we need to, you know, have a think about how we as a community interact with each other and, you know, what our expectations are just as to how we think our society should live and work. We wouldn't use computation, we wouldn't use devices that have computing in them if we didn't think we'd get benefits from them. So these technologies are always seductive because they offer us things. But at the same time, we're also aware that there are negative effects, so that the data from the devices is being harvested and that data is being used to make decisions about us or to nudge us to act in certain ways. I guess what we're kind of arguing is to try and get a balance in that kind of relationship and to allow people to have some level of control and ownership over how their lives are mediated through this computation. We've kind of ceded that control to a certain degree by adopting the technologies quite rapidly, and there's new technologies coming along all the time and they're constantly being rolled out, and they're being rolled out ahead of what legislation or regulation or forms of control or even public debate can react. So things like the smartphone, the adoption rates on the smartphone were very, very fast. When you compare it with things like the adoption rate around cars or the adoption rate around electricity, and so on. So these became ubiquitous, you know, like 80-90% of the population owning one, you know, in less than a decade, probably within 5 or 6 years, actually. And then we're trying to layer on afterwards the norms and cultural reference points about how they should be managed.
There's this term that people use today, which I think is quite effective in terms of capturing what we're all doing. We're talking about curation. We're effectively curating our devices. So we're all negotiating this, not only with ourselves, I mean, and I think very importantly with ourselves, but then with others, in the context of very powerful companies who are able to adjust what they do when they notice that the patterns are changing. These are big, big companies that are looking at us as effectively workers. We should be generating data for them in one way or another.
But when we try to resist these intrusions in our non-work life, if that actually even exists, it's far more difficult, maybe more impossible.
I don't think it's difficult, but it becomes much more individualised. So it's about how I personally decide I want to use these devices, as opposed to a collective action, which will probably put more pressure onto the people delivering the service or who are running the company, so the management and so on, to maybe think a bit more about what they're doing. Now, if lots and lots of individuals take some form of collective action, then generally what will happen is the market will respond. But if lots of individuals are doing it in different ways and it's not actually really affecting how things like the data could be monetized or how value is being extracted, then it might not necessarily work in terms of getting kind of a grand shift. But it will work at an individual level of making my life maybe more enjoyable or less stressful. So, you know, it gives me more opportunity to kind of manage my time in a way that's on more on my terms as opposed to always being on somebody else's terms.
Rob Kitchen and Alistair Fraser there on the possibilities of slow computing. Next time, Professor Robert Lustig on computers and the pathways of addiction. And if you have your own strategies for slowing down your phone or computer use, tell us about them either on Twitter at culturefilepod or via email culture@rte.ie. Yeah, ironic, isn't it?